I'd like to just turn to Exodus chapter 21. Just read verse 5 that was read this morning. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Well, those of us that were here and remembered the Lord Jesus and his death this morning, our hearts were touched at the end of the breaking of bread as this portion of scripture was read. And we recognized that there was the free will offering, as it were. The Lord Jesus himself desired to remain a servant forever, desired to remain a man forever. And you know, we read in Exodus or Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read it so that I don't misquote it. Isaiah chapter 6, prophetically of the Lord in a past eternal age, in the eternal counsels of God. He says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And so isn't that lovely? The Lord Jesus came because he saw you and I in our need, but there was a desire in his heart to fulfill all of the counsels of God, that the purposes of God might be made manifest and that God would be glorified as to the question of sin, and that you and I might be forever in his presence as his companions. But in Isaiah, there's that desire of heart, and we have it in Genesis chapter 22, don't we? They went, both of them, together. Then said I, here am I, send me. And so we read those verses of scripture in Exodus chapter 21, and you know, it demands a response of heart from the bride. In chapter 24 of Genesis, I'd just like to read the question, another question there in Genesis chapter 24. It says there in verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You know, my heart was struck. My heart was touched as those verses in Exodus chapter 21 were read this morning. And I thought of this question that would go out perhaps from the heart of the Savior himself to each one of us. Perhaps from the heart of God himself, the one who sent the Lord Jesus to accomplish his purposes of blessing, love, to call you out of this world and to save your precious soul and mine, to make us a member of the body of Christ, a part of that bride that he's going to have in the eternal scene above. And he asked this question to you and I, wilt thou go with this man? A lovely response, three words, I will go, I will go. Well, this is introductory to what I had on my heart here to read this afternoon. Just three verses, really, in the Psalms, the 86th Psalm, verse 11. We'll read three verses here and perhaps refer to a couple of other verses of Scripture. But in the 86th Psalm, we have this Psalm. It's a prayer of David. And the background is that the 10 tribes of Israel have come through the testing time, and they've been restored to the Lord. They're in the land, and perhaps the Assyrian is not yet dealt with. It says in verse 14 that God, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. And so they're a little bit perhaps ill at ease as they are in the land. But you know, these 10 tribes at one time in their history went out in idolatry, and their hearts were divided from the Lord himself. And they went out in idolatry. They were taken and in the government of God. They were brought captive by the, taken captive by the Assyrians. Now they've come back into the land. And this is what they say in verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. There was a desire when they came into the presence of the Lord, and when they evidenced his love for them, they experienced his deliverance. They experienced what it was to go through the wilderness and to be tested. We're not going to read those portions in Ezekiel and so on, but they've come into the land, and now they really truly wanted to know the Lord. They really truly wanted to know that blessed one who had gone to the effort to rescue them from the Assyrian and to take them out of the circumstances that they were in of adversity. And he brought them into his very presence, into the land, into the blessing, and they wanted to know him. They wanted to know his ways. So there's three things in the first verse here that we have. It's thy way, thy truth, and thy name. Three things that they desired to have. But they said, teach me thy way. Well, you know, they wanted instruction, divine instruction, an instruction from the God that had created them. I want to ask you a question this afternoon. We've been here for, this is the third day that we're together. Many things have been read from the Word of God, things that have touched our hearts, touched our consciences, and it's the desire of the Lord that we go back some other way. Do we have a desire to know the way of the Lord? To be taught of God, taught by the Spirit, what is the way of the Lord? You know, the disciples said, Thomas, I believe, said to the Lord, how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus responded to him in John's Gospel, chapter 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here's an honest question. He says, the psalmist, teach me thy way, O Lord. And in the, this is Jehovah that's being spoken of, addressed. Teach me thy way, O Jehovah. And in the French translation, it's l'éternel, the eternal one. There is a course for the eternal glory of God, that you and I can walk in this scene while we wait for him to come. While we wait for the Lord Jesus to come, we can walk in a path that has an eternal view, because everything that we do here has eternal consequences. The Lord is going to be for the glory of the Lord, or it's going to be lost in this scene. And so he desires here to be taught. Isn't that nice? Do you have a desire? Do I have a desire to be taught of God, to learn something from that God who sent his only begotten Son into the world that I might not perish, but that I might have everlasting life? Well, it says here, there's a promise, as it were, I will walk in thy truth. Well, there's a divine course of life. There's a walk, there's a path, and there's a step, one step at a time. And perhaps, like the ones that are speaking here prophetically, you have come to these meetings and perhaps there's been a lackadaisical course. Perhaps you haven't walked with the Lord with fervency of heart the way you really should. And you've heard some things here in these meetings and your heart has been stirred, as mine has. And so you desire, perhaps, to be taught of the Lord. Would you desire as well if he would reveal himself to you through his word in the person of the Lord Jesus? Would you walk in the truth? Would you walk in the truth? I will walk in thy truth. And so the truth of God is connected with the person of Christ and obedience to his precious word as he's revealed it to us here. I know I'm reading from the Old Testament, but I want to make this statement. We didn't make it during the reading meetings. And that is that none of us would really understand the true ground of gathering and what it is to be gathered to the Lord's name unless we read the Old Testament. We need to read the Old Testament. And I'm reading from some Old Testament scriptures here, but we see the heart of God in these Old Testament scriptures. And it says, I think it's in Romans chapter 15, I'm going to read it. In verse 4, Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." These things were written for our learning. And so we have this psalmist uttering this prayer, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Isn't that something, a strange word to use in connection with our hearts, to unite our hearts to fear the name of the Lord? Well, I believe that the thought is that our hearts are very easily divided. You know and I know how easy it is to have a divided heart, to have Christ and something else that's attracted the heart. And so these dear ones wanted to have singleness of heart, to have an appreciation for the person of Christ and for the way, for the path of faith, a singleness of heart, to be united, to fear or to honor the name of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to live the name of Christ with reverence. "Let him that nameth the name of Christ," or really proper translation, "let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from evil." And so they wanted to walk in a clean path, and they wanted to have their hearts united to take up his name, to bear his name, and to bear the reproach of what it was to be associated with his name. And I want to tell you, dear friends, dear beloved young people, this afternoon, that if you name the name of the Lord Jesus to your friends, those that even that are in the church systems and so on, and you tell and you just speak the name of Christ and say that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, or they ask you what church you go to, and you say, "Well, I'm gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever said that? Isn't that nice? "I'm gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's going to bring some reproach, because the name of Christ is reproached in this world. But these ones had gone in their own way in the past, and they wanted to have their hearts united to fear the name of the Lord. Isn't that nice? So we have the way of the Lord, the way, thy truth, and thy name. It really presents to us a right attitude and a right desire at the beginning of our lives and in the course of life, that we might be continue in his presence. Well, there's fruit for God in verse 12. It says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." And so, you know, beloved brethren, if there's a desire in our hearts to be taught of God, we want to know the way of the Lord in truth in these last days. And there's a desire to walk in the truth that he reveals to us according to his word. And the heart is undivided. The heart wants Christ. The heart wants to please the Lord. Then there's going to be fruit. There's going to be praise. There's going to be thanksgiving. "O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore." Well, we know that it's possible for us to glorify the name of the Lord and to glorify him in this scene where his name is not honored. We will glorify the name of the Lord eternally. This is true. But it's possible to glorify the name of the Lord here in the place, in the scene of his rejection, to adorn his name, to take his name upon us. "Wilt thou go with this man?" "I will go." Whose name are you going to take? What name is going to be attached to your testimony in this scene Is it going to be the name of Christ? Oh, what a blessed name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, and who is going to be a servant forever. Why, that's the name that we desire to glorify forever. Well, then, verse 13, there's a sense of the grace of God. It says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Well, that's lovely, brethren. We've been delivered from the lowest hell, and we need to continually remember, and it's nice to come into the presence of the Lord and to remember him in the circumstances of his death, what he did for us, the great cost of our redemption, that we might have a sense of the pit that we've been delivered from, the pit of sin, the pit of hell. We've been taken as the worst possible material that could ever be found in this world, dead in trespasses and sins. And the God himself looked down upon us in this scene and desired to have a bride for his son. And it was a divine act of grace, intervention in this world filled with sin, that he might pick up by grace those that were yet lost and receive them unto himself, save their precious souls, deliver the soul from the lowest hell. And so I just suggest to you this thought that I've enjoyed in connection with this mercy. Thy great is thy mercy toward me. There is a daily enjoyment of Christ that you and I ought to have, a daily enjoyment of the sense of the grace of God in the pit of sin that we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from the lowest hell to live in the presence of the greatest Savior. And as a result, we take his name. We glorify his name. And we have desired, in some small measure, I believe, as I speak to you here this afternoon, I believe that perhaps all, most, are the Lord's. And you have a desire in your heart, no doubt, to learn more about the Lord Jesus. And this is a nice prayer to pray. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. But daily, we're going to need to have a sense of the grace of God and where we came from and where we're going. And we're almost home. We're almost home. The tendency of our hearts is to let up a little bit, and just to relax a little bit. We're almost home. Things look pretty good, and we're almost home. We almost got there. But we need to be taught of God daily. We need to not only be taught, but we need to desire to walk one step at a time in the path of faith. And so I just present this to you again. Thy way, thy truth, thy name, and the fourth one, thy mercy, a sense of the grace of God. So these three verses would present to us a proper response to the heart of that blessed one who said, I will not go out free. I love my master. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Wilt thou go with this man? Will you be taught of God? When he reveals the truth, thy truth, his truth, will you abide in it? Will you desire to associate yourself with his name? Oh, what a wonderful name we have to associate ourselves with in this scene. Well, may the Lord help us, each one, to remember these three verses of Scripture as this conference is almost over, and to have a renewed sense of a desire of heart, every one of us, to want to be taught of God, to want to know that truth, and not only to know it, but to walk in it.